Hey, fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael here with the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. Our number here is 888-850-1872. What's going on out there, folks? What about American influence? How should America influence the world? Should America be an influence of the world? I say, if all the Americans are behaving properly, America shall be salt and light to the world. I'll tell you what, if we lose our flavor, if we lose our savor, how are we going to be salt, a tasty treat to inspire the world? Our job in America is to be salt and light, to be a positive influence. Why is that? Because I'll tell you what, this place has been the light of the place where the world could look and see liberty. And the reason why is we're based on Christianity, the tolerance of religion, those who would, I'd say, have peace with those, no matter what their religious persuasion, it came from America. They were not going to be use the power of the sword to be the defender of the faith, but the men of faith within America would make an influence on those across the globe, and those who would come to America for freedom of religion would be influenced by those who were truly being salt and light, who are really demonstrating those precepts of the Bible, who had a biblical worldview, a Christian worldview, that would love their neighbor as herself because of their duty to love God. And that's what America started to be, and we still have that obligation. The problem is, as we abandon that in America, we have lost our flavor. We have lost our savor. Our light is becoming more and more dim, and we are not a beacon of liberty. The further we go from, I say, that biblical Christian worldview perspective, the worse things are going to be. That's the way it's going to be. That's just the way it's going to be. It was those who had a deep-rooted, deep-abiding faith in Christ and love for God that nipped the abuse of the government abusing people of all faiths. It nipped that in the bud. Okay? Those inquisitions were nipped in the bud by those, the courageous people of faith. That's something I think you ought to keep in mind, something to think about. I talked about the Federalist Papers, and I'm going to get back to it. But here's something I just, again, when I look at what's going on in the news, we have to look at government and hold it accountable. And I want to make sure, the reason why we're here at Liberty Works Radio Network is to be a beacon of light, is to be, in fact, a warner, a warning, we're sounding the alarm and saying, wake up, come out of the stupor. They've given you some Kool-Aid. Don't. I saw, Finding Nemo, and he looked at the light and he got mesmerized and he got sucked up into it and he almost got destroyed and eaten by this deep water fish with the little dangling participle or whatever it was. It was lighted up. And so we want to distract you from that and say, wake up. Don't get sucked up. Don't get caught up into it, because the pandemic of dementia wants you. So here, I'm going to play a clip from something. And this is something that the vice president has said recently. And I think it's important for you to hear what he said in public about the current status and the current state of this whole strange economic mayhem and this healthcare, just the whole thing that's going on. It just shows that there's a dementia pandemic sweeping North America. So listen to this.
Folks, look, AARP knows, and the people with me here today, the president know, and I know, that the status quo is simply not acceptable. It's totally unacceptable. And it's completely unsustainable. Even if we wanted to keep it the way we have it, we can't do it financially. We're going to go bankrupt as a nation. Now, people, so when I say that, people look at me and say, what are you talking about, John? You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? The answer, yes, I'm telling you.
Okay, that was a little bit strange sounding. I do want to play it again just because I want you to listen to this. This is what the vice president is saying. I'm going to try it in a different mechanism, one that hopefully will be heard better. I tried something different to see if we could pick that up for our online guests as well as our radio broadcast. It didn't work too good, so I'm going to try it again. I want you to listen to the vice president.
AARP knows,
AARP.
The president, no one I know, that the status quo is simply not acceptable. It's totally unacceptable. And it's completely unsustainable. Even if we wanted to keep it the way we have it, we can't do it financially. We're going to go bankrupt as a nation. Now, people say, when I say that, people look at me and say, what are you talking about? You're telling me we got to go spend money to keep from going bankrupt?
Okay, so he says, he's sitting there telling people that even in a current situation, bankruptcy is something that this nation is facing. Now, the average human being with, I think, a rational mind could tell you, if you take the activities that the government and the financial sector, taking the steps that they've been taking over the last couple of decades, it was a no-brainer. People have been talking about this for 20 plus years. It was a no-brainer. It was an inevitability. It was inevitable. It was going to happen. So now he's admitting it. He says, well, if we keep going the way we are, we're going to go broke. But then his proposal to take and spend more, you're already out of what you have. You have no more. So now let's spend what we don't have is the only way to keep us from going broke. Now, if that is rational, I am nuts. It is not rational. And again, I've used this analogy in the past. It's as if this is how you're going to make sure your financial security is working in America. Is what you're going to do is you're going to take your credit card. You're going to go spend as much as you can. And then when you run out of money, you're going to get a credit card. You're going to charge up the credit card as high as you can until you can't charge it anymore. And then instead of cutting back and paying off the bill, you're going to increase your lifestyle. You're just not going to maintain the status quo, even though you can't pay the bill. What you're going to do is indulge some more as a mechanism to become financially sound. That's what we are facing here, and that's what these policies are. And I think it's a little bit queer. I think it's quite strange. I think it evidences a pandemic of dementia. And so it's one of these things where I'm challenging somebody, show me where I'm wrong here. Because if I've been drinking the wrong Kool-Aid and for some reason I'm analyzing this improperly, I need somebody to give me the calculus that's going to point me in the right direction. Thanks for calling Eagle 104.3. What's your question or comment?
David, I have a comment regarding the subject you're talking about. I think you're not drinking the Kool-Aid, and it does make all people question. I think what we're missing, though, is the other half of the equation. And the other half of the equation, David, is the fact that the United States, on average, is about $11 to $13 trillion a year civilian economy. We have a government that operates on about $2.5 trillion a year, the government alone. The world economy, I was watching a professor who's worked for Republicans and Democrats on C-SPAN this weekend. He said the world economy is about a $45 trillion a year economy. What the other side of the equation is, and the reason I'm calling your show, David, is anywhere from $4 to $6 trillion is removed from our economy annually and placed in over 27 offshore accounts. And that also includes the hedge funds. So what that does, if you would just leave that big chunk of money overseas and not let it continue to sustain our own infrastructure and schools and all the other normal flow of services, just the taxes on that $4 to $6 trillion would be $500 billion a year. This is the part of the equation that has been intentionally obscured from the Americans. This is all under the auspices of deregulation. This is why, when I did go to the Progress Energy, my suggestion for a solution is what we had to do back in the 30s at this exact same time frame. Re-regulate industries to make them more domestic. Tell me a product that I can buy that's made in America. I had a Wilson baseball glove as a kid. I had a Schwinn bicycle. I had Converse. I had Levi's. My dad had Florsheims in the 60s. They were $150 in 68, and he worked for them. He worked triple time. But really what's happened is the wealth of the workers has been reduced to the same stand that it was back literally in 1933.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Yes, David.
So we are watching the in-flight entertainment, the cap and trade, the healthcare thing. That's all the in-flight entertainment. Our plane is in a nosedive. So this group of Florida legislators from Congress that complain about the health care bill as it currently is, what should they be doing instead? Okay, their plane's in a nosedive. One of them has to go grab the yoke up in the cockpit and pull back. What is that yoke that they ought to pull, in your opinion?
Well, David, this gets back to a question that you had asked me, but you're rephrasing it in the same question in my mind, but from a different perspective with the same hopeful solution. And what we're really talking about here is international investment, which a lot of it's going to fall under this current greenhouse technologies, not the cap and trade date, but the pollution bill, which is going to give them tax credits. And I'm not in favor of this. Again, it gets back to, if your listeners would check into globalization, our current American economy has now been...
Wait, you're diverging off my question.
No, I'm getting right back.
I have a mute button. Be careful. Warning, we have a mute button. What is the yoke that they need to pull? What is the act of Congress that needs to happen? What kind of bill should be written that really should be the thing that's going to pull our plane out of a nosedive?
Well, first off, we have to be able to identify where. Let's take your plane analogy and say there's now smoke in the cockpit.
Okay.
So we know there is a yoke in there somewhere, but we've got to be able to see it.
Yes.
And the night vision goggles aren't helping us see. So in order to see where the yoke is, we have to pass House Resolution 1207.
Ah, okay, good. And you've brought that up before, and you know what I failed to do? I failed to really go there a lot, but it's on my list. I've got a huge list. And folks, what he's talking about is this hold the Fed accountable thing. And I actually do have an article that was from, now Ben Bernanke is doing town hall meetings. Is that weird?
Right. And
I mean, that shows that they're worried, doesn't it?
Well,
so what I'm saying is you've answered my question, and I just want one little bite size. We realize there's more bite-sized yokes that need to be pulled, but you're saying that one of the things that Congress needs to be doing instead of watching the in-flight entertainment is to be pulling back the yoke of holding the Federal Reserve accountable.
Well, that's David Alan Carmichael's phraseology.
Yes.
What we need to do is realize that the largest transfer of wealth in American history, maybe world history, just took place in the last few years. And what it is they have privatized their losses, and they've privatized their gains, and they've publicized their losses. So we, the citizens, will be carrying the load for the losses of AIG and Stanley and J.P. Morgan and all these, you know, huge money laundering schemes. Really, is all they are.
Okay, I need to wrap it up. That was superb. Thank you.
Okay, David.
Okay, hey, thanks, folks. I appreciate that. That was good. That was it. That was good input. You know what? I've got that recorded. So our caller, I do have that recorded, not online, but it's going to be online. It's going to be on a podcast. His statement, he says they have publicized, so to speak, their losses, and they have privatized their gains. That was a profound statement. I had not heard that yet. You may have gotten that from someplace else, but I'll look it up. I'm going to look that up and see if we can track that down to see if it's just coined right there by our caller. They have privatized their gains. They've publicized, so to speak, their losses. Well, that's what Congress ought to be focused in on. And right now they've got this fly on the wall buzzing, and it's Ron Paul. And he's claiming, hey, folks, you need to get back to business, and your business is holding the Federal Reserve accountable. In other words, opening the books. Like Progress Energy, Florida legislature, Florida people, I believe maybe even the commissioners are asking, open the books. And you know what? Ultimately, those things that are hidden in the dark shall be ultimately revealed. You know what? That's a biblical principle. That's a biblical principle. It goes back to the constitutional foundations and the purpose of government. Keep those insults and injuries of the strongest faction from destroying the property and other interests of the weakest members of our society. That gets back down to constitutional basis, and also gets down the basis of right versus wrong. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about American influence. Thanks for that call, caller. Superb.